brought tonight by the ministers of music throughout the Southern Baptist Convention. They're directed by Mr. Jim Woodward. We regret to say that our microphone situation is not adequate for the pickup of our choirs. We plan to have it so by tomorrow. But if you listen carefully, perhaps you will be able to hear them as they bring this meditation to us at this time. The ministers of music of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Oh.
May I call you to attention as we open the 109th session of the Southern Baptist Convention meeting here in Detroit on this Tuesday night, May the 24th. We begin our convention with a period of worship and song, the reading of the scripture together in prayer. Brother Eugene Sutherland from Tennessee comes to lead us in our singing, and following that, Brother Longshore from Texas will lead us in our scripture reading, and Brother Gaskins from Colorado will lead us in prayer. Let us join together now as we sing. Thank you, Dr. Dehoney, and a good evening to you, ladies and gentlemen. Our organist for the sessions this year will be Mr. Jax Jones. He played for us, as you recall, in Dallas last year, and we're happy to have him again. Our pianist for the week will be Miss Loreen Bushman. You hear her every week on the Baptist Hour as she plays for the Baptist Hour Choir. We're going to have some wonderful time singing together, as we had in Dallas, I'm sure. In this very first session, I think it's fitting that we open with a hymn that recognizes the power of our Lord. As we sing together, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. It's found on page 22 in your little green booklet. Page 22. Let's sing together. Stand, please, as we sing. Wonderful singing. You need to hold your book up just a little higher so that we stay together, please. On the third stanza, we'll have a short organ interlude, and then we'll all sing unison in a mighty crescendo of faith. Now the second stanza, please.
Ye chosen seed of Israel's race,
amen. Be seated and we'll sing again. Let's turn now to hymn number 23. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Number 23.
Like me, I was
for now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. When we
fine, thank you so much. No doubt you have left a convention saying, only if I could carry away some of that music. Well, for the very first time this year, you're going to be able to do so, because you can get a hi-fi or stereo long play album of some of the highlights of the music of the convention. And I'm telling you this tonight because tomorrow night is the night that we're going to record the convention itself. And when you come for the evening session tomorrow night, take a seat up toward the front so that we can fill up this area first and record in the first session, a first part of the evening session tomorrow night. You can place your orders for the albums at the Radio and Television Commission booth. Now it's time for us to sing a hymn of prayer and dedication. It's found on page 26. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Hymn number 26. Won't you join us as we sing together?
Holy Spirit, breathe on me until my heart is clean. Let sunshine fill its inmost heart with all the cloud between. Breathe on me.
Thank you. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to sing the third stanza. And immediately after we've sung, we will hear God's word read. And on the chorus, I'd like for us to turn this mammoth congregation into one huge choir. Will you watch me very closely on the chorus? And we'll sing without the instruments. The third stanza, let us stand as we sing. We'll remain standing then for our scripture reading.
Holy Spirit, breathe on me till I am all thine own, until my will is lost in thine.
Every eye now.
Breathe on me.
For the first time in the history of the Southern Baptist Convention, we are reading the scriptures responsively in each of the sessions. Would you turn to page 11 in your program booklet? Page 11. It will be extremely difficult for you to read together in such a vast congregation, but you'll do your best. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Keep back thy servant from also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
May we bow for prayer. We know, our Father, that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We know that the Word of God is sufficient for this new age in which we live. And we pray, our Father, that during this great convention that the Holy Spirit of God might sweep over us and speak to our hearts. And our Father, as we listen to the messages and as we receive inspiration from them, may we go back to our fields of service more resolved to do thy will for our lives than ever before. And we would pray, our Father, that you will bless every speaker. Bless us as we receive the reports. May we not be content with that which we have done in the past, but may we look forward to the future with faith in Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. Now lead us during these days by thy Spirit, for we pray it in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.
We have already felt welcomed in this beautiful city of Detroit. These magnificent facilities, this beautiful weather, and the warmth and friendship that's been shown in all our contacts with the people. But it is entirely appropriate that we should hear a word of welcome from the State Secretary of the Michigan Baptist Convention, Brother Fred Hubbs. I believe you'd like to know a little bit about this man and about Michigan Baptist. 15 years ago, there were 6 Southern Baptist churches in Michigan. They had a membership of around 800 people. Today, there are 200 churches and missions with a church membership of more than 30,000 people. When the Michigan Baptist Convention began to organize itself and promote Southern Baptist work in this great state, they operated out of the kitchen of Fred Hubbs. This was the state headquarters for, and the kitchen sink was his filing cabinet part of the time, and the kitchen table was his workbench. And from this beginning has come this great convention, a growing dynamic convention. And I introduce to you now, to welcome us, the dynamic dedicated, faithful, able secretary, Brother Fred Hubbs.
Mr. President, messengers to this 109th convention, I wish that every Baptist in Michigan could stand here tonight and express their words of welcome. For 15 years, our Southern Baptists have waited for you to come and visit with us. And we love every one of you, and we're happy that you're here. We hope that these days will be happy days as you catch a glimpse of our beautiful state. Nearly 59,000 square miles, with more than 11,000 lakes, great country where more than 8 million people make their home. But this is more than just a place where people live. It's a place where the gospel of Jesus Christ needs to be preached. For 145 years, Baptists have been preaching the gospel in this state. Just a few years ago, a short few years ago, 122 years, we witnessed perhaps one of the greatest movements of Baptists in this state. But it was thwarted for some reason, and today less than 5% of the population of Michigan is Baptist. More than 60% of this state, the population of this state, does not claim affiliation with anybody's church. For that reason, we hope that when you come to Michigan, you will not just come as messengers to this 109th session, our convention, but you will come as missionaries in a mission field. You will come to fulfill the statements of our Lord when he said, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." And as you walk the streets in the city of Detroit, as you live in the hotels, it is our prayer that you will be a witness, and people of this area will know who Southern Baptists really are. They are the witnesses of the Lord Jesus. We have endeavored to help you make your witness pungent and felt while you're here. We have prepared a tract that you will find in your visitor's welcome packet. These tracts are to be distributed while you're here. They simply say, I am visiting in your city and may need to ask you for directions. But first, I would like to point you in the direction of heaven. Beloved, if this is your business while you're here, God is going to honor this convention like no convention we have ever had. Now, Satan is here too, and he's going to see that every messenger does not become a missionary. He will stop your witness if he can. He will cause you to be disgruntled over hotel accommodations, over transportation, over any and many things. I pray that in spite of all that the devil can muster up, you will be the Christian you really want to be, and be a witness while you're in a mission field. It isn't easy to be a witness here. It's difficult, most difficult. But I hope while you're here, you will catch some of the spirit, some of the reasons Southern Baptists are making headway in these great population areas. And as you go back home, you'll go back with a prayer in your heart, with your life laid on the altar, that God will send us more workers, more help, we'll gain far greater in the future than we have in the past. So with all there is in us, from the deep of our heart, from 145 churches and all of our missions, from 30,000 Baptists, we say welcome to Detroit, and may God bless you while you're here.
Thank you. And now, deep from the heart of the territory of the Southern Baptist Convention, from Alabama, Brother Lamar Jackson comes to give the response.
President DeHorney, brethren, that no one person can speak for Southern Baptists is commonly understood among us all. Yet this is the moment in which the exception establishes the rule. Another cannot speak for us ordinarily because of the nature of the spiritual unity which we have in Christ. This spiritual unity is recognized by us to be compatible with a variety of differences within a framework of mutual appreciation. However, at this time each year, the gathered messengers of the convention are willing for one person to speak for all. Some may think it were better that a later time in the convention sessions be designated, maybe at the conclusion. But the Committee on Order of Business knows the will of most, for it is at the very beginning of the session that we who have come from the North, the Deep South, the East, and the West wish as one to thank the Heavenly Father for his providential care and to thank all who welcome us to Detroit, Michigan. She is the northernmost city in which the Southern Baptist Convention during its 121 years has met. Ever since you extended the gracious invitation and the convention accepted it, we have been looking forward to coming to Detroit and to Michigan. Reaching back to the Tin Lizzie days of our childhood, many of us have had a secret, if not fiendish, desire to rattle into your city, to leave a contribution with the junk car dealer, to drive home in a new automobile, and in the transaction find out what F-O-B really means. Brave souls among you who have ventured onto the John C. Lodge Expressway have already found out what FOB means. Freeways, oh brother. You folks here seem to lack only one thing, an establishment which supplies spare parts for pedestrians. However, your city is so fabulous, it wouldn't surprise us to find out that Hudson's Department Store has these. Those of us who are from the Deep South have been looking forward to renewing friendships with neighbors from back home who 1.5 million strong have moved to Detroit during the past 20 years. The cosmopolites among us from New York and Los Angeles and St. Louis and D.C. and, of course, Big D, have been looking forward to finding out how you Wolverines can get to Canada by going south. They want that Chamber of Commerce to top this claim. All of us have been anticipating the joys of fellowship with fellow Baptists who are associated with the newest state convention cooperating with the Southern Convention. Brother Hubbs, we are glad to be here. And we appreciate very much your inserting that little word about not being disgruntled because of hotel accommodations or the lack of them. And we're going to try to forget about all the mix-up at the registration desks of the hotels last night, because we eventually found good accommodations at the YMCA and over in Canada. Your city can boast of the largest convention and exhibit facility in the world. One of the world's largest department stores, the world's largest Masonic temple, the world's largest Catholic university, the world's largest collection of restored antique automobiles, the world's largest automobile assembly line, the world's longest international suspension bridge, the world's greatest industrial concentration, the world's largest freshwater beach, etc. ad infinitum. such a superlative city is an appropriate place for Southern Baptists to be. Baptists could not fail to feel very much at home in Michigan, the most water-covered state in the nation. Already I've sent a big batch of picture postcards home. Picture postcards of the Detroit River, the world's busiest river. And I sent them to some pedo-baptist friends and wrote across the front, "Wish you were here." Dr. Ubs, be assured, and will you assure the city of Detroit, the county of Wayne, the state of Michigan, every fellow Baptist of the area, and your fellow citizens of goodwill that Southern Baptists are appreciative of your welcome. As messengers elected from the 10 6/10 millions of members of the 33,000 local churches cooperating through the Southern Baptist Convention, we, though many, speak as one to say thank you for the hospitality accorded us during this 109th session. We also pray that our presence during these days here may redound to the glory of God in days to come hereabouts.
Brother Jackson, thank you. I thought for a minute we were mixed up and back in Texas when you started talking about the biggest and the best and the largest and the longest and the widest of everything. I guess you've heard the latest Texas joke, haven't you, about Texas brains? A fellow went into a brain shop to buy some instant brains. They have everything now, and so buying some instant brains, he was pricing some. Here were Harvard brains, $500 an ounce. Yale brains, $800 an ounce. Texas brains, $1,500 an ounce. He said, "Whew, why are Texas brains so high?" I said, "Man, you don't know how many Texans it takes to get an ounce of brains." Well, we're in a great state of Michigan and a great city of Detroit. Now, this prepares us for a report from the registration secretary, Brother Fred Kendall. Will you come and give us a report on registration, and we'll constitute this assembly in a moment with a motion from you.
Mr. President, our registration as of 7:20 p.m. this evening is 9,590. I move that these messengers constitute the convention and that the duly accredited messengers from churches in cooperation with the convention who arrive later be recognized as members of the convention when they have enrolled on the basis of membership set forth in Article 3 of the Constitution.
All right, you hear this motion. Is there a second to this motion? Duly seconded that the duly accredited messengers from the churches constitute this convention. Are you to come now? A brother has asked for the floor at this point in the proceedings.
I'm Bill Huddleston from Arkansas. In order that the 109th session of the Southern Baptist Convention may be given an opportunity to clarify its position on its requirements for membership, I make the following motion. I move that the messengers from the First Baptist Church of Russellville, Arkansas be denied seats as official messengers in this 109th session of the Southern Baptist Convention, because the Russellville Church has departed from the traditional practice of regular Baptist churches by officially adopting a doctrinal statement which advocates the practice of open communion and the acceptance of alien immersion. In support of this motion, I submit to the Credentials Committee for their consideration the doctrinal statement of the Russellville Church.
All right, Brother Huddleston, may I have your motion here a moment, and would you remain here that the chair may evaluate your statement. As you have stated here, you have said that you challenged the seating of the Russellville Brethren on the basis of their not meeting the requirements set forth for seating in this convention. Now, I am going to rule this out of order on the basis of your charges for three reasons. First of all, I read the constitutional requirement for membership in the convention. Article 3 sets forth that the convention shall consist of messengers who are members of missionary Baptist churches cooperating with the convention as follows. One messenger from each regular Baptist church, which is in friendly cooperation with this convention and sympathetic with its purposes and work, and has during the fiscal year preceding been a bona fide contributor to the convention's work. Now, the Constitution does not make these two positions that you have stated as tests of fellowship for membership in this convention. There is no statement. Now, the second reason I rule this out of order is that you're saying that this word regular Baptist church, you're saying this is not a regular Baptist church. You're not charging that it's a violation of this constitutional statement I've just read, except as it applies to a regular church. And you're saying this is not a regular Baptist church. Is that your statement? Then I refer back to the 1963 convention in Kansas City when our articles of faith were adopted that represent the guidelines that define our regular body of faith and belief. And in Article 6 and 7, where it discusses a gospel church and discusses baptism and the Lord's Supper, our articles of faith do not make these two statements that you bring here as measurements of regular Baptist churches. And so on the basis of our statement of faith that represent the guidelines for regular Baptist belief, we find no reference to either open communion or alien immersion as you have charged here. So I rule this out of order for the second reason. I rule your charge out of order for a third reason, and that is on the basis of tradition and practice. We have, through the years, refused to delineate detailed tests of faith. The last time this came up was in 1914, as I understand it, and the record shows that Dr. Gambrill got up and said, "This will profit us nothing when we start trying to make certain creedal statements as a basis and detailed statements as a basis for fellowship in the Southern Baptist Convention. We'll start on a road that will lead us down to many, many divisions." And so historically, we have never made this a test of faith either. So I am ruling your challenge out of order at this time.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I want you to
thank you. I presume that your applause sustains the ruling of the chair. We're back to the main motion of Dr. Kendall that the messengers as registered constitute the convention. Those in favor, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Those opposed, in like manner. It's so ordered, and all the registered messengers now duly constitute this convention. We now hear from the Committee on Order of Business, Brother Wall from Texas, for the report.
Mr. President, as each individual was registered, they were given a booklet containing the printed order of business. And I move you that this become the printed order of business or the order of business for this 109th session of the Southern Baptist Convention, with any adjustments and changes that may become necessary from time to time.
You've heard this motion. Is there a second? Second to the motion that the printed order of business be adopted as our regular order of business for this session of the convention. Are you ready to vote? Those in favor, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Those opposed, in like manner, it's so ordered, and the printed program becomes the order of business for this convention. At this time, I'd like to take a moment to present to you some people that I believe you'd like to see and recognize. I think you'd like to know our officers and their families as they are here. And I'm going to ask that as I present the officers and their family with them, that they would come and stand here with me as I present them. First of all, I take great privilege and joy in presenting Mrs. Dehoney. Would you come, Mrs. Dehoney, to stand here with me? And then the first vice president, Brother Carroll, would you come?
And your wife is back here.
Mrs. Carroll is not here for the convention this year. Mrs. Dehoney, our second vice president, Brother Estrada, would you come? Mrs. Estrada is not here. Then our secretary, Dr. Clifton Allen. Brother Allen, would you come? And Mrs. Allen is back here. Would you come and stand beside your husband? And then our registration secretary, Brother Kendall. And Mrs. Kendall coming now to stand at his side also. And then our treasurer for the convention and executive secretary of the executive committee, Brother Ruth, and his wife, Mrs. Ruth, would she come? Now, I heard the quip the other day that behind every successful man stands a woman too busy to sit down. How true this is. I'd like for you to give an applaud to your officers here and also to their wives who've had such a part. As they take their seats, I want to recognize some others that I think you'd like to see. I would like for Brother Sutherland to come here. And Brother Sutherland is the minister of music for our convention. He is also minister of music for the First Baptist Church of Jackson, Tennessee. And with him, his wife, Ann. Ann, would you come somewhere back here? I would also like to present to you my associate, Bill Bates. Bill, come on up here. I think everybody in this convention knows you and knows what a tremendous aid and help you are in every way. And then I'd like also to present Miss Mildred Snow, and many of you have come to know her, the very efficient and faithful personal secretary that has helped me through the years, and she has truly been the secretary of this convention for the last 2 years, giving of herself untiringly. And then I have three laymen here that I want you to meet. I'm going to ask that they would come forward, and as they come, I'll identify them. Come right on. These are men from our church in Jackson, Tennessee. As they come here, first of all, leading the way here is Brother Jack Brown, who is Dean of Men at Union University and is superintendent of our Sunday school, right here on my left. Then Joe Exum, Brother Exum, is an engineer and head of the Jackson Utility Division and is chairman of our deacons. And Brother Ben Langford is City Commissioner of Education and is chairman of our Finance Committee. These laymen here, representing the laymen of this convention who stand by and uphold the hands of the pastor. I think you'd like to pay tribute to these folks who've had such a part in my ministry. Come up here, Joe. You want to say a word? Let me say a word or two first before I ask Joe to say a word. Someone said to me, and I told them I did it, they said, every morning when you get up and thank the Lord for your wife, Lee Alice, you ought to thank the Lord for Bill Bates and Mildred Snow, too. And I said, I do. And I thank the Lord for my deacons and my church also. And during these 2 years, when I've carried such a heavy responsibility and been gone more than this last year, more than 200 days off the field, these deacons and this staff have carried the load and made it possible for me to serve you. Joe, would you like to say a word to these folks?
Thank you. This is an unexpected pleasure. I didn't know I was going to be asked to speak. I would like to extend the greetings of the First Baptist Church of Jackson to the Southern Baptist Convention. And I would like to say that we at the First Baptist Church have certainly felt honored to have Dr. Dahoney serving as president of the Southern Baptist Convention during these past 2 years. We have been extremely pleased to share him with the Baptists and Christians throughout the world. And I would also like to add, we will be just as pleased to have him back on a full-time basis.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you very much. Thank you. I wonder if the laymen that are here tonight, I'd like for all the laymen to stand. Would you stand on up? You laymen, let's salute you. These are the men that undergird us, fellas. Let's give them a hand. We salute you. Thank you. I wonder how many church staff members we have here. Would the church staff members stand where you are? Would you stand up? Church staff members scattered all around. These are the folks we couldn't get along without. Let's give them a hand. We thank the Lord for each and every one of you. Now we come to the time of the appointment of the committees. You find the committees listed in your daily bulletin. I'm not going to read the full committee membership, but simply call attention to corrections that need to be made in that daily bulletin. The Committee on Credentials stands as listed, and I hereby duly appoint the Committee on Credentials with Brother Court Flint of South Carolina, Chairman. The Committee on Tellers, Reverend C.H. Hawkinsmith, Chairman, stands as printed, and I hereby duly appoint that committee. The Committee on Resolutions needs to be changed. A wire from Brother Nelson of Alabama says that because of sickness, he will be unable to attend the convention. And in Brother Nelson's place, I appoint Brother Conrad Willard of Florida. Also, a communication from Brother Joe Coleman of Oklahoma says that he cannot be present at the convention, and in his place I appoint another layman and member of the executive committee, Brother Charles Ryland of Virginia, in his place. So with these two corrections, I hereby appoint the Committee on Resolutions. The Committee on Committees is named as printed in your bulletin, with the exception of the following four changes. For Arizona, Brother Glenn Rainey, a layman and educational director in the church, replaces Brother Vernon Shipp, who could not attend the convention. For Indiana, Brother Carver Tinsley replaces Brother Springs, who could not come because of the death of his father. From Ohio, Brother Bill Hughes replaces Brother Willard Dobbs, a layman and a judge, who was unable to come because of last-minute court responsibilities. From Oregon, Washington, Herbert Griffin replaces Brother La Follette. With these four changes, I hereby appoint the Committee on Committees. They are to meet tomorrow following the morning session. I do not have the room number at hand, but the number that was given you in your letter was an error. if you will consult tomorrow morning's bulletin or consult the platform here, they will give you the room number for your meeting. Now, Brother Sutherland, shall we come and join together in singing?
Friends, let's turn now, please, in our hymnals to number 49. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Hymn number 49. We'll sing the three stanzas that are printed in your bulletin. Let's stand again as we sing.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ's solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every heart